Good morning, church. Oh, it's so good to see all of you here. We have so many of you here this morning. What a joy. And also upstairs. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you. Yeah. This morning we will come together to continue our series in Ecclesiastes. Yeah. So this is a final last two session in this series, total 15 sermons. It has been an amazing journey of looking at life under the sun from the book of Ecclesiastes. So I believe as we faithfully listen to his word and allow the word of God to work in us, God is going to move among us in an amazing way. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So this morning, the message will come from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. Yeah, this morning's sermon topic is Remember Your Creator. Remember Your Creator. Okay, please have your Bible open and we'll refer to the verses as we go. So now let's us read chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. Yeah, I'll read the passage this morning because it's not that many verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to 10. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of the darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the griders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors of the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of songs are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors are in the way. The almonds blossom, the grasshoppers drag itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourner go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit returned to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you open our eyes now to see the truth of your word. And I pray that your word will become relevant and real to each and every one of us here. Whether young or old, we are here to hear your timeless truth. So speak to us, O Lord, as your servant proclaim your word of truth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to 8, the wise man kind of summarized his analysis of life. And I like what he say here. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. The words here is so beautiful and meaningful, expressed in such a poetic form. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. You see, imagine you wake up in the morning, you know, your eyes half open, you look up to your window, the morning sun, you know, the gentle and the brightness of that sunlight, like kissing to your face. You know, this golden brightness just covered you, kissing to your face. It's how beautiful it is. And you open your eyes and say, wow, I'm alive for another day. Thank you, God. Yeah, have you had this experience? Would you look at the morning as such? Or you wake up in the morning before the sun come up? Yeah, it's very early, like 5 a.m. I know in KL, even the sun start to shine into the window after 7. When I was in Sarawak, it's after 6, we see the sunlight. You see, the wise man is telling us here, life is good. Appreciate what God has given to you and rejoice in every day of it. However, he also alerts us, not forget the life under the sun will come to an end. And after that, the days of darkness will be many. Okay, we can see that in detail from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 to 8. I'll go there, okay? So I read for you. Go, eat your food and with gladness and drink your wine with joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life. Enjoy to the maximum. In all the days of this meaningless life, and this is the best you can do. And the verses continue to say that God has given you under the sun all your meaningless day. You see, for this is your Lord in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the death, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. You see, that's what he's saying here. Yeah, go enjoy your life. Eat and drink and be jolly. Since it is the best you can get out of your life in this life under the sun, which is meaningless. The best you can do in this meaningless life, which is under the sun without God, is eat, drink and be jolly and enjoy it while you can and live to the fullness while you can. And whatever you like to do, do it with all your might, because when the death comes to you, you no longer be able to do all this thing. Wow, what a powerful message here that Solomon and bring forth to us. You see, enjoy it. Yes, enjoy it, because the best you can do, the life under the sun without God, which is meaningless, is eat, drink, and be jolly. You see, if you live this life without knowing God, the best you can do for yourself is that, eat, drink, and be jolly. And basically, this will be the best life you ever have. This will be the best life you ever going to have. And after that, the days of darkness will be many awaiting for you. A very powerful teaching indeed. The wise man trying to alert us to live this life on earth must remember and having the awareness of what is to come. And do not live as a complete fool who don't care and not knowing what is to come. See, that is why he advised us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 and 4. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. The living should take this to heart. For death is the destiny of everyone. You say, while you live in this life, think carefully what is to come. Be wise. And verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool is in the house of pleasure. The wise will be, the heart will be in the house of mourning because he will remember what is to come. I'm sure today's message, and I'm going to preach it, and you'll be so shocking, it's very different from all the message you hear from the YouTube. Enjoy your life, be blessed, be happy, and be glad, because Jesus is here to help you to have health, wealth, and happiness in life. Listen to it again carefully, okay? Here, the wise man said, in the house of mourning, help us to see the reality of life. We all are going to die one day. Death is inevitable to all of us, and it is the destiny of everyone. Have you thought of that? The reality of life, perhaps, will help us to humble ourselves and to seek God and fear God. If you see that, if you really know that, are you paying attention to it? Are you always remember of it? That the days to come in this life is the darkness of many. How many of us think about death? Think about what happened after you pass from this life. Is there a hell? Or it is like blow off a candle? Do you have the answer? If you don't have the answer to this reality of life, I would like to invite you this morning to look at what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that there is hell, and it is a lake of fire. And hell is a permanent place for sinners, and the sinners will burn in there alive and alert and awake and have eternal life there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 15. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell. Therefore, it is best to have this awareness when you are young, especially for all of our young men. Remember this. Of course, for us who are much more senior and you know your time is closer to see your Creator, let's pay attention to today's message. You say here, rejoice, O young men, in your youth, and let your heart cheer in the day of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Right? Just like what I read earlier in Revelation chapter 20. God will bring you into judgment. So remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. It is a serious warning to be watchful and be very careful on what drives the direction of our life. And we should start it when we're still young. I may paraphrase this. The wise man word is like this. Okay, people, go ahead and let your heart and your eyesight to be guided of your life. Let it decide how you spend your time, your money, your talent from God. But remember this. A day will come where every decision, every glance, every desire, every act that lead your heart and eyes partake, God will judge you by that. Now, the wise man's statement is not trying to scare us, but to make us wise on how we live our life. So this morning, I hope you don't find this message to be condemning to you, but this message is to refresh you, is to transform you, is to alert you so that you can live wisely and by knowing the reality of truth. The Bible tells us that all peoples are going to be judged, even Christian. Yeah? And Christian will be the first to be judged. In 1 Peter chapter 4 to 17 tells us, "For the time has come for judgment, begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" You see, if it start from the house of God, how much more for those who do not know God? The apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Whether good or evil. See, such awareness doesn't make us live as though we have to walk on top of the eggshell. But just opposite of it. For Christian, our Father in heaven, who has made us his children through our faith in Christ, he's standing ready to reward those who live their life not according to their own fleshly desire, but according to the Father's will. You see, it is not a scary thing. It actually, for Christian, we should rejoice because we know the truth. We know God will judge the world. Yet, we know this because the Bible tells us so, and you know it. And you have a knowledge of it, an awareness of it, and know how to live according to the teaching of the Word of God. So, we, as we are aware of it, it's so much more that we should live. And we know there will be a reward waiting for us. When God judges the world, he will judge it fairly. There will be reward and there will be judgment. There will be punishment. And we Christians, if we live our life not according to our fleshly desire, but according to the will of God in what the Bible tells us so, he who so loves us will reward you and me. So it is a good thing. So we are aware of it, and where the world do not aware of it, it's a sad thing for them. That's why we need to bring this good news to them, because you have to tell them, this is what the Bible say. I remember this sister who wherever she goes, even in the shopping mall, she will look at a person and her heartfelt burden, he said, "Mr. or Mrs., he said, no, you know, I really see that you are a good person. I really don't want to see you go to hell. May I share this good news with you? You might find this shocking. You might find this is offensive. How can we do this? This is ridiculous, Pastor Wallace." But this sister, she bring many people to Christ. And she will have the number listed down. Last year, she called me, end of the year. She said, "Pastor, my goal for 2021 is 100 people. I'll share gospel to 100 people, and I'll pray for them." She record down their name and their number. So it is not that, let's not think that it is scary and it is offensive, but it is loving when we tell people, "I really care for you, and I don't want to see you go to hell, because this is what the Bible says, and this is the good news of God." You see, when we know the truth of God and have the wisdom from God, it will help us to live our life very differently. You see, when we know this truth, we will know to live the life very different from the people of the world. Yes, Christians can enjoy and rejoice and celebrate life. And you listen to the YouTube a lot of pastors would love to say, it's nothing wrong to enjoy your life and go and rejoice. It's nothing wrong to do that. But I'm afraid the congregation, when they hear that, they say, it is okay to enjoy to the maximum. It is okay to enjoy without limit. It is not that. Today, I hope this message will really alert you. You see, We can enjoy and rejoice and celebrate life. But our heart desire on what we have our eyes on and the thing that we enjoy and rejoice of will be very different from the people of this world under the sun. People of the world seek happiness and joy from the earthly thing and fulfillment of their fleshly desire of this life under the sun. But for us, we should understand the word rejoice here. It is not a green light or permission to enjoy your life like there is no tomorrow, or indulge ourselves without limits on earthly pleasure, because we have the wisdom and the knowing there is a darkness and judgment at the end of that road. So enjoy your life, but don't enjoy sin. And your heart desire should be according to the will of God. And what your eyes look upon should be according to the guidance of the word of God. And what you desire in life should be according to the commandment of God. That's why Paul said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. People of the world, you see, for example, people of the world spend all of their life work hard to save up a earthly treasure to ensure that they will have good life after they retire in their old age. But the wisdom of God tells us that it is more important for us to store up and invest in heaven instead of on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and decay destroy and thief break in and steal, but store up treasure in heaven, where neither moth or decay destroy nor thief break in and steal." You see, a lot of us work so hard to store up, to prepare for our retirement, our old age. But the Bible here, Jesus told us not to store up for yourself treasure on earth. I'm not saying Christians should not work hard and store up for our old age. But that should not be our first priority to focus on. Instead, our focus and priority should be on God. And you would say, "Hey, Pastor, you know, I live to the old age and I store up, I work hard, you know, I have everything, and look at that person who serve God and who do all that, and they are living in poverty now. They are so sad." Let me tell you this. If this is the life that you focus on, this will be the best life you ever have. And that person, let me tell you, his reward in the kingdom of heaven is great. So, because we know we live in a fallen world, we should not cling on to the things of this world as a Christian, but look forward to the better life in heaven, because this life is not our best. Remember this. This life is not the best life you're going to have if you focus on God. So, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9, "Praise be to the God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept you in heaven for you." You see that? Our Lord Jesus Christ has prepared us great treasure in heaven for us, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have to come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perish even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, although you are because you did not focus on the earthly thing, you might make lesser, you might not as wealthy as the other person, you must even live in poverty, but you faithfully to God and serve Him and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you suffer in this world, guess what? You are storing up the treasure in heaven. You are storing up your treasure in heaven, which is going to last forever. Yes, you suffer here. That is just a little while. But great is you who have the treasure in heaven that Jesus Christ prepared for you. So how should we live our life? Live our life in a way that we remember there's darkness awaiting for us. There's judgment awaiting for us. And there's treasure in heaven awaiting for us. So this life should not be one thing to have the best life that you can cling on to. It is not the best. The best is yet to come, which is prepared in heaven by our Lord Jesus for us. Okay? So, Christian, rejoice. Can rejoice in every day of our life, knowing that we have been redeemed by God who died for us on the cross, so that we can reconcile with God to be His children and to be the citizen of His kingdom. You see, the rejoicement of Christian is not the things of this world, but knowing that we are saved from this fallen world, we no longer live a life that is under the sun with limited time, but we have eternal life in heaven with God. Starting today and to forever, we're going to have this eternal life. We are saved. We are saved from death to heaven. But however much you suffer in this world, it's not going to last long because what is to come is greater. See, we are living in this fallen world. Doesn't how well you prepare yourself, how good you're going to live, how hard you're going to work, you know, you will suffer. There will be trial. There will be sickness, pain in this world and in this life. But what is to come? It will be the place that without tears, without sorrow, without pain, but there's with God in eternal, waiting for us with all the spiritual blessing and with all the good things. So we rejoice every day here, even though we are suffering. That is a different as a Christian. We do not rejoice only because of the outward thing. We rejoice from inside because we have salvation with God, because we know this God. We rejoice because we no longer fear of death, but have eternal life. We rejoice because we no longer live in this life without purpose, without hope, without meaning, but knowing our purpose and meaning of life in Christ. We are people with hope through the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice because we know what God has in store for us in heaven is far more glorious than what we have here in current life. See, the joy and celebration of believers come from within, coming from the love of God, coming from the fountain of the living water, the message earlier, you see. And that's why we can rejoice even in our suffering, because our joy doesn't come from the created world under the sun, but in the creator world above the sun. I repeat, our joy doesn't come from the created world under the sun, but in the creator world above the sun. In the sun, S-O-N, and through the sun, S-O-N. You see, in Christ, there is no longer darkness waiting for us, but eternal joy and splendid glory of God waiting for you and me. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 to 4, say, This is not my word. This is from the Bible. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Prepare us as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. There will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death and mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See that? That is a place. There's no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. God himself will be with us and be our God and wipe away every tears and sorrow. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is in its lamp. The nation will walk by its light, and the king of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no days will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no light there. The glory and honor of the nation will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's books of life. You see, that is the place in heaven. No longer you need light. No longer you need this light bulb, because the glory of God is with all of us. We'll shine to the whole places, and God will be with us. Oh, brother and sister, what a staggering, wonderful life that is to come. Our best life is not in this world. It is not here. And it is not now. But the life which will last forever and ever together with our mighty God, that is our best life. Let us rejoice every day in this life as we serve and labor with joy. Jesus said, they are not of this world, but I put them into the world so that we can do the Father's will. So we are here. We are not of this world, but we are here in this world because the Father placed us here for his good work, to be the light, to be the salt, to bring him honor and glory as we live here. But not to pursue the creation, the created thing, the thing of this world, for ourselves, for our own gain, for our own glory. But it is supposed to be for his glory, for his kingdom, for his righteousness. This is why we are here. This is what the Christian is called for. I know there's many sermons out there you hear that pleasing to your ear. It's telling you to be a Christian, how much blessing you're going to have, the wealth, the health, and the happiness, and the smooth path of life, and the good living. Examine the Bible for yourself and look at it again. Let us move on to chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. This is probably the most beautiful imagery you can find in the scripture to describe old age, and a very beautiful way to describe how life fades away. It is fascinating to just read it. It is so real, it is so brilliant, and so clear. And you say, Pastor, why you say that it is so beautiful when life fade away, or old age, or death? What is the good in those? It is not. But there is no fear, because we know this is the journey every one of us have to pass through. And we have hope in eternal life. Only for those who do not have hope in eternal life, in the eternity and forever with God, We are fearful of old age. We are fearful of death. But for us who believe in Christ, know what we're going to have, there's nothing to be fear of. But very important, the author reminded us, remember your Creator. So he says here, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil day come and years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. In verse 2, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the cloud return after the rain. So, what is a wise man trying to say here? He said, remember God and live for Him when you are young and able, when you still have strength, good health, and passion, before you come to the age that you become too weak and you will say, I have no pleasure in them all. You see? And where you can't even lift up your finger and to have passion for anything. You see? And you cannot see it with your eyes, you cannot see well, and your life is gloomy. And in other words, at that time, you are too weak that you are only waiting to pass on from this life. You are waiting to die. And that is so weak, and that is too late. He said, remember before that happened to you. So he pleads with us, do not wait until it is too late, because you only have this one lifetime to remember your Creator. And he continued in verse 3, in the day when the keeper of the house tremble and the strong men are banned and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dim. See, he's saying here, you know, your movement now is tremble. You're getting very old and your back is weak and you cannot straighten up. You bend your back and your teeth are so few you cannot even grind it anymore. And your eyesight is so blurry, and you cannot see clearly outside the window. And that's how, don't wait until then, that will come. And verse 4, he says, the doors on the street are shut, and when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all daughter of songs are brought low. You know, as you get older, going out becomes difficult. The sound of grinding fades away. You cannot hear. And you have no more pleasure in eating. That's why you don't chew so much. There's no grinding sound, it's lesser. You don't chew so much anymore because you cannot eat so much like when you're young. And you wake up very early in the morning because you cannot sleep at your old age. You know, how many of us can tell that? I mean, some of us who are older, you cannot sleep like when you are young. You wake up early, and you hear the bird chipping, singing, but you cannot hear it very clear, right? Because your ear fading away. You're losing your hearing. And verse 5, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. You see, when you're getting old, you're much more afraid of high and dangerous, and you're so afraid of failing because you know your body might not be able to hold you up. Your body is no longer reliable as before when you were younger. So the wise man is trying to tell us, don't wait until that time to remember your Creator God, but remember Him now when you still have strength, when you're still young, when you still have passion, when you still do it. Brother and sister, for us who are much older here, let me encourage you. You know, when you still have the time, when there is still sand inside this hourglass in you, use it. Don't wait until the time you cannot use it anymore. If you use it now, remember your Creator. When the time comes and you cannot lift your finger, when you have no passion, you'll remember the goodness of God. Like the song here we sang earlier, the goodness of God in your life. You're counting the blessing of God. You are waiting that, Lord, take me home. I have done. I have kept the faith. I have finished my race. But if you don't remember your God while you can, by the time you cannot even lift up your finger, it's too late. it's too late. Yeah, but yes, it's going to be painful for you. So the wise man alert us, remember your Creator while you still have strength. And then he continued, the almond tree blossomed, the grasshopper dragged itself along, and desire failed. The almond tree blossomed. Have you seen the almond tree? When it's fully blossomed, it's very beautiful. It's all white color. The whole tree is white color. Okay, and there's no green leaf, just white. Okay, the wise man is talking about the hair of us when you get to the old age. It's all white. It's all white, like an almond tree blossom. And the grasshopper dragged itself along. If you see a grasshopper, it's dragging itself but not hopping. which means the end is coming to the grasshopper very soon. And desire failed. You see, no longer have desire for anything anymore. I think some of us older ones, you'll be able to experience that. Your desire is failing. See? Because man is going to his eternal home and the mourner go about the street. That means the end is coming, is closing in, and death has arrived. Wow. I hope this imagery come alive in your heart. Not to scare you, but bring alertness to you while you still have sand in your hourglass, while you're still young, for the young people. Take heart. Take heart. You might feel like you are invincible now. I can do all things. I can jump from the highest mountain. I can sail the further sea. But remember this. God will judge you for everything that you do. So let your heart desire and your eyes set on God. Because this life is not the best. The best is yet to come. Don't wait. Don't wait until it is too late. Okay, now this is even more staggering. This is also speak to all the young people. You see here, verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returned to the earth and it as it was, and the spirit returned to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, say the preacher. All is vanity. What is all that? The context here is really talking about death. You see? During ancient time, the rich will use a golden bowl to hold the oil and to light it, to light the light on it, so you can use as a oil lamp. And the golden bowl suspended with silver cord and hang to the ceiling. So when the silver cord break, oil would drop and the bowl will be broken and oil spill and the light goes out. That means it is all gone, extinguished. It's done. You see, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern, which is the well. You see, the pitcher cannot draw water from the fountain anymore, and the wheel is broken. You cannot draw water from the well anymore, which means it come to become useless, right? It's end of the life. The picture of life come to the end, and it refers to a man's time is finished. A man's life is extinguished. That can happen to any one of us, brother and sister. You see, because nobody will know when your silver cord will snap, when your golden bowl will fall, when your life will go out. Even for us younger ones, we do not know. One phone call come to the pastor, hey, so-and-so just passed away. One phone call come to us, so-and-so in the ICU. As we in the intercessor team, every week we hear something coming to us and for us to pray for them. One day we'll rejoice, the person will live to see tomorrow, another might not. So none of us will know when the silver cord will snap and the golden bowl will drop and the light will go out. You see, that's why the wise man said, remember God before everything is too late. When dust return to the ground and spirit return to God. Because you only have this one lifetime to make it right. This one lifetime to live for God and remember Him. Brother and sister, I hope this imagery come alive and be so real to you. Because with a blink of eyes, you will be there like an almond tree blossom. Okay? All your hair turn white. Yeah, I start to have white hair. And I look at the mirror, I told my wife, oh no, you see, I start to have white hair. It's all on this one side. Yeah, none of us will know before you know it. It comes to you. Created, you see? So remember your Creator while you still have the chances and strength. Don't wait, because the time will come sooner than you think. Even for young people, you might like, ah, that's not going to happen to me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. I still remember like yesterday, I was still in college. I still hang out with friends. But before I know it, you know, I just passed my birthday. I turned to 50 this year. Many of yours is like, hey, Pastor, you're 50. Yeah, 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 I turned to 50. 50! Yeah, yeah, my time is going to come very, very soon. I'm counting my days now. I'm numbering my days. So I hope I live for God in every day of my life, every second of my life for His glory. Because I don't know how much time I'm going to have when my silver cord will snap. Live a God-centered life. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, brother and sister. This is what the wise man reminded us, you know, so that we can live the life when we're looking forward with anticipation for the best thing to come. You see, instead of darkness and judgment, you know, when we really remember our Creator, we live the life with God in the center of our life. When we look forward, we are anticipating what the good things to come. The glorious thing with God, the eternal life with God, the treasure in heaven. And when we're looking back, we will find that with satisfaction because you have obeyed, surrender yourself as a living sacrifice to your Creator and your God. So, brother and sister, like the songs like Elvin and the team pray today, numbers your day, numbers your day. You know, when you numbers your day and live and remember your Creator and live for Him, for His glory, because this day is very short and what is to come is eternal, and that is better than this one. This is a fallen one. If you like this one, that one is 1,000 times better. So live your life with the right wisdom, according to the wise man. Look forward with anticipation. Look backward with satisfaction because you have done your best. You have kept your faith. You have finished your race. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your wonderful word that speaks to us. To some of us might feel a pinch. To some of us might feel like hard to accept, but this is the reality. You show us the reality so that we don't deceive ourselves. This is the truth of life under the sun. This is the truth of life that you have planned for us and have for all of us, and you reveal to us in your word. Father, let us take to our heart of this word, and we live the life with wisdom. Wisdom and with reminder that we need to live the life to remember you in every day of our life, O Lord. Father, May this morning message to bring transformation of our life, to help us to re-look and re-examine our life again. What are we living for? Is this life we cling on to is the best life you're going to have? Or we want to have the better life that you have prepared for us? So Lord, speak to each and every one of us. Grant us the understanding. Open the eyes of our heart so that we can see it all and it becomes so real to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.